She did. She helped me understand that I wasn't going to do that anymore. We're on this journey, and we've been in this thing called more. We're going to stay in this thing called more for a little while longer. But I hope that you have sensed something different today. And the question really is this: why do we worship? Why do you worship? What exactly is worship? And I feel like there's just this sense of, well, I'm not really sure what it is. And the importance of this is we need to know why we worship. Others around need to know why we worship, and God needs to know why we worship. And so here's what today is. It's really pretty simple. It is more worship. Now, so that we're clear, that is not more singing. We did the exact number of songs that we usually do. But it is more worship. It is more worship with a purpose. And here's the reason why. Psalmist says this: we're supposed to worship because God inhabits the praise of his people. Somebody say amen. God inhabits. He has been waiting for you. He wants to dwell within you. God dwells with and in the praise of his people. You are his people. Say people. And we're to praise. That's what we're supposed. That's your job. When you came in, your job is to praise God. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the deep understanding from the Old Testament, but I just want you to know this: in the Old Testament, much like in the New Testament, we have multiple words for the same type of a thing. So we have the word love in our English language that is divided somewhere three or four different ways that help us understand the meaning of love. In our language, we use the word praise. But in the Old Testament times, there were three different meanings for the word praise, and it had three specific functions. One was making a noise. So some of you made a noise, and I hope that it was joyful. So you made a noise. The other word is actually gestures with hands. That's one of my downfalls, is I'm using my hands for gestures. But the other one is an acknowledgement of who God is. And so you have the making of noise, you have the gestures, and then you have the acknowledgement, which is singing with your mouth. So the psalmist says God inhabits that praise, which is a noise, which is a gesture with your hands, and it is also singing. That's what the praise service is all about. So sometimes you wonder, like, oh, well, I don't want to sing, and I certainly don't want to raise my hands. Do you know that raising your hands in worship is actually biblical? Did you know that? Somebody say, yes, Pastor. Thank you. It's actually biblical. Because we're actually called to raise our hands. Why do we raise our hands? There's multiple reasons, but probably one of the big reasons is, when I know this, if somebody points a gun at me, I surrender. Now, gratefully, God's not pointing a gun, but he's saying, raise your hands in surrender to him. And then we sing. We use our mouth to sing with. The psalmist goes on, chapter 34. 1-3, I will exalt or extol the Lord at all times. His praise, our praise of him, will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I love this. Always be, at all times, always be, at all times, always be. Say that, at all times, always be. That's your job. At all times, my lips will praise God. And then God gives you broken things, breaking things, neighbors, and a car. And then you go, ah, I'm supposed to praise the Lord now? Mm-hmm. I had to go back to my office this morning. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty that took a little bit of time getting us going, and we were about 30 minutes, you know, behind, and I'm like, oh. And I had to go back to my office, and I actually had to go, okay, God, help me at all times, because I'm in the same boat as you guys. There's things that happen along the way in our life, and we've just got to figure out, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to do? And is this one of those at all times moments? What do you think all times means? There you go. I told you a little bit about that story with the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming. He's telling to the woman, this is Jesus, and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. You're not holding back, oh, by the way, God knows. So spirit and truth is actually emotion, and it's also physical. There is that sense of I'm actually doing something that is worship. So more, we're going to do this. Get a place to write if you'd like to. We worship more because worship helps us seek God's presence. Worship helps us seek God's presence. That's why we come in here. That's why we begin in worship. That's why we begin in song, because it begins to help direct us towards God. Let me ask you a question. When do you really sense God's presence? I hope. Man, do I pray that you sense God's presence right here. That today you sensed God's presence. That last Sunday you sensed God's presence. That this coming Sunday you're going to sense God's presence. I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture in Isaiah that is all about the presence of God. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet. And with 2 they were flying, and they were calling one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Now, you know, you read these things, it sounds like a sci-fi movie to some of you guys. Like, oh man, Stephen King must have written this. No, this is exactly the reverence and awe that happens when we enter into God's presence. But I can tell you this, you can miss the thresholds shaking, you can miss the doorposts shaking, you can miss the sense of awe, you can miss the sense of awe and wonder, and you could still be in that place and not even recognize that the temple, the whole temple is filled with God's glory. So worship demands that we seek God's presence. So I'm using a phrase that has been used each week, and it is this, that believe that God can do more in you than you can do on your own. So as you approach worship, and as you approach this space, and as you come into here, you know, let's just be honest. There's times that you're just like, man, Sunday morning, I just don't feel it. I'm just not feeling it today. But believe that God can do more in you than you can do. You can't manufacture fake worship. You can't go, well, I'm going to really, really try and it'll be okay. God sees right through that. And what he wants is true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. and come in and be willing to say, God, I confess I'm not feeling it today, but God, I believe you can do more in me than I can do on my own. So, what does seeking God look like for you? If I were to ask, how many of you want God to do something for you? Everybody's hands are going to go up. Like, yeah. And if you didn't raise a hand to go, well, I'm really embarrassed. So I don't want to raise my hand, but I really want God to do something. How many of you know that God wants you to do something for him? I hope that you're like, oh, that's me. What he wants is, the Bible says, is that he inhabits, he dwells within the praise of his people. You, his people. Praise him. So the second place is this. We worship more because we've dealt with our sin. Man, what a place for us to know and understand. You know what? There's this thing, and it's casual, and some of you are like, you know, pastor should wear a suit and a tie. I'd prefer shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, and someplace this is, it's way past the middle. But there's a casualness about church, and I also believe that there's a casualness about church and sin. That we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to say, oh, well, you know, you're a sinner, so you got to get it right. But really, worshiping in spirit and in truth says, I've come to God, I've recognized that I've got, that I'm jacked up, that I'm messed up, that I've got to get some things fixed up. And I'm going to come to God and I'm going to say, God, help me deal with my sin. Not like, oh, well, I did that thing the other day. God, I confess my sin to you, and I believe that you will forgive me. David, David, everybody go David. Boy, was he messed up. Psalm chapter 50, have mercy on me, he says. Oh God, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. Pride comes in with your hands in your pocket. You're like, there ain't no way I'm raising my hand. There ain't no way I'm singing. There ain't no way that I'm going to jump up and down. There ain't no way that I'm going to tell anybody about what I've done. And pride just goes, just stay right there. Of course, you all know that pride goes before. And David, who had it all going on. I mean, he had his own kingdom. He had his own castle. He had a pretty woman, and he wanted another pretty woman walking down that street. The kind of girl you guys are going to have to get along quicker than that. Verses 3 and 4, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me against you, God, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. What happens when we're casual about this? We just don't want to call it for what it is. But the truth is, every single one of us needs a Savior. Every single one of us can't approach the holiness of God on our own. We need God's Son, Jesus, to be that advocate on our behalf, to go in front of us and to go with us. And we can't fake God out. Going back to Isaiah for a moment, chapter 6, verse 5, the prophet says this, woe to me. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Woe to me. Woe. Why? Because he has been in the presence of God, and he recognizes he is sinful. Pause button. Aren't you glad, or maybe you don't know this, but if you don't know this, I want to tell you this for the very first time, that God wants to deal with your sinfulness, and he wants to forgive you. Come on. That's the reason why this church exists. That's the reason why we are here, is to help everyone understand that God loves you, has an incredible plan for you, that it doesn't matter what you did last night, last week, last year. It doesn't matter all those things. What matters most is that you as a person can come to say, oh God, woe is me. I'm a person with unclean lips and I live among people who are unclean, but I've seen you and I want you in my life. The woman at the well had that experience where she said, oh, I don't know about you, but I'll take that water that you've got because I will never thirst again. Do you think you can save yourself? Some people do. You'll try to be good. You know, you've done this. Oh, I'll be better. I'll try harder. I won't say this as much. I'll try to be different. I'll try to be nicer. I'll try to be. You can't do it apart from God in your life. And so remember and believing that God can do more in you than you can do on your own. God wants to do something in you. We worship more because we have accepted God's grace. Listen, if you've accepted God's grace, you know what that is. That's when you've said, I'm a person of unclean lips, and Lord, forgive me for my sin. God, I accept your grace. Now, if you've done that, there is no greater reason for you to worship, to stand, to sing, to raise your hands. In fact, try this. Everybody raise your hands. Didn't hurt. Well, maybe it hurt you. I'm sorry. She's got a bad wing and she can't do that real well. Yeah. So you're at Disneyland, and what do they tell you on Thunder Mountain? Everybody raise your hands, right? I mean, this would be awesome. It'd be a great picture for Facebook right now, too, by the way. It was like, it doesn't hurt. But sometimes we just kind of get to that place like going, oh, I don't feel like it. But we've accepted God's grace. Did you feel like that? Did it make you feel good when God's grace said, I've covered you? Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphs flew with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth. Remember, he said that I'm a man of unclean lips. And he touched my mouth and he said, see, this has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. The same thing happens with us. We might not be touched with a burning ember. Aren't you glad for that? But we can receive God's grace when we ask him to come in and just say, God, I accept your grace. Let me ask you a question. What does praise, remember, praise is an action. It's a raising of hands. It's singing. What does praise look like when sin is confessed? When all of a sudden you looked at your slate and you're like going, man, it's empty. That's pretty cool. Greatest thing in the world that is the travesty for what happens on Sunday mornings in churches across the country is that a person walks out feeling the same guilt that they felt when they walked in. If we walk out of here, we walk out free. We walk out forgiven. We walk out receiving of grace. And so the seraph flies and takes a hot coal and does this. And the question is, with your praise, what does it look like when sin is confessed? Do you sing a little louder? Do you raise your hands? Do you sense that? You know, everybody knows what a mountaintop experience is. Listen, I think that you can have a mountaintop experience right here every single time that we're together. Why not? Well, because I might be embarrassed. That's dumb. Just saying. examine your own personal experience. Are you experiencing the life-changing power of God on a daily basis? Are you experiencing the life-changing power of God on a daily basis? Yes or no? We worship more because we've become transformed. I struggle with this. Become seems to be a word that is final. And I would like to say that we're becoming. We're constantly in the act of being transformed. We're constantly being renewed. Verse 8 from Isaiah 6, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then I, Isaiah, said, 'Here I am, send me.'" There's something special that happens with passionate, sold-out people for God who've recognized their sin, who've taken their steps to have it dealt with. There's something special and unique about that, and here's what it is. You can write this down if you want, but transformed means people become available. Saddest thing in the entire church community. Four words. I don't want to. Imagine if God said that to you. I had a conversation. It's been a while now, and it was dealing with the issue of forgiveness and the act of not forgiveness. You know, so you know what that is. It's really hard to deal with forgiveness and not forgiveness. And the issue was the person had said, "Well, you know, will you forgive me?" And they said, "Well, I'm not sure." Okay, let's work through that a little bit. And as we're kind of guiding this thing down, and then, you know, the other answer is, "Well, we'll see." And of course, you know what "we'll see" means. Parentally means there's not a chance in your life. Your kid comes to you and says, "Hey, can I get a new car?" And go, "Yeah, we'll see." Yeah, whatever. I don't hear it. And it was like about forgiveness. Well, we'll see. Really? But transformed people become available for God. And when God says, "I want you to fill in the blank," He's not wanting to know if you're completely prepared. He's not wanting to know if you're like, "Oh, I've got all the skill in the world. I know exactly how to do that. That's right in my wheelhouse." All he wants you to do is say yes. And then he says, "Watch what I can do. Because I believe that I can do more with God than I can do on my own." And so he's looking for those to be able to say, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." Now that's as simple as talking to your neighbor, "Here I am, send me." To upping your game and service, "Here I am, send me." To working with the kids, "Here I am, send me." To "Here I am, send." That's all God said. Transformed people say, "Thank you, God, for transforming me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for filling my life. Here I am, send me." So why a service like today, and why a message like today? Because I believe God's calling us to do more, for more, for more. Not the same. Let me ask you a question. For you, do you think you can worship more? We've just gone through this. You know what it is? It's not more singing. It's not more of this. It's not more of that. Do you think that you can worship more? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? I wonder if you've considered that today. So in years gone by, there was a song that was written that was in response to all of this, that was just a lot of stuff. And the song that was written was a very simple one. That helps us with our worship. The Hebrew writer says this: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And don't forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Stand and worship. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Oh, you search. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Oh, you search. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. 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 It's all about you, Jesus. Lord, be with us today. Help us to worship you today. Help us to worship in the Spirit and in truth, and to recognize that it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday.